Today is a very auspicious day, as we have two masters being ordained. One is the yellow Padmakumara, and the other one is the leader of the Tantrayana Association in Taiwan. So, and they have been a disciple for a long time, and now that they're being ordained, it would be help them in propagating Buddha Dharma and helping other sentient beings. I remember when I was just being ordained, I did not know anything. When I was asked to do prostration, I just joined my palms. I did not know how to hold the mudra for the bodhisattvas and the herukas. And one time after becoming a monk, I asked for an empowerment from Grandmaster, and Grandmaster asked me to visualize Vajrasattva, but I visualized Akala instead, because at that time I did not understand about Tantric Buddhism very much. So I feel very pleased, very happy to see they are being ordained. Grandmaster have written over 200 books. The earlier books, it's quite easy to understand. But these days, it's harder to understand, especially about the Zen koans. Spiritual cultivation involves faith, understanding, practice, and realization. We have to have faith in the Bodhidharma, because it's like the big ocean. Because if you don't have faith, then it will be hard to practice. So Grandmaster's earlier books teach us to generate the faith and understanding, and then to practice. And the earlier books are easier to understand. And after practicing for so many years, the later books, the content, teach us how to realize the true meaning of the Tathagata. So every time when we recite the sutra, there's always the gatha, which is the most profound supreme dharma, is rarely encountered in millions of kalpa. Having thus heard, I now receive the blessing and vow to penetrate the true meaning of the Tathagata. So now, Grandmaster's writing about the Zen koans is to let us understand the true meaning of the Tathagata. A lot of Grandmaster's books, I have difficulty understanding them, especially the book like number 180, The Solitary Star at the Edge of the Sky. Until now, it's very deep. Inside, there are a lot of the Zen koans that's in ancient sentences that I could not understand reading them. And especially about the article. And Grandmaster often asked us to answer quickly, quickly, say it, say it. I can't even say it slowly, especially quickly. And Grandmaster often said, if you can't answer it, then let's get this beating. So I feel that after reading a book, as if I've gotten many, many beatings. So Grandmaster actually give us many hints and let us easy to understand about the Zen koans, like the past, present, and future minds that's unattainable. And Grandmaster explained that. And also the example about the two clay oxen that fell into the ocean, never to be heard again. That so that we can understand better. So, in the process of expounding the Zen koans, that Grandmaster taught us so that we can have a better understanding of the true meaning of the Tathagata. So, in before reading the Grandmaster's later books till now, I believe that everyone would have some progress. So, in Grandmaster's book, when the wind comes, the waves arise, there was this sentence that's called, the monk is a donkey. And the profound meaning of this statement, both broad and deep, that the monk includes, that the statement is that the monk is a donkey, and the monk can include the hungry ghost, the asura, any heavenly beings, the sages of the ten Dharma realms, or all sentient beings. But the deep meaning encompasses both the similarities and the differences, or that it's not one and also no difference. And about this not one but also no difference, Grandmaster has talked about this when someone asks him about it in Japan, which was published in Tribuda News last year. So I'm not going to explain it here. And below is an insight that I got when I read the statement, the monk is a donkey. Everything that I got below. So the summary of the Mahaprajnaparamita Sutra is Diamond Sutra. And the essence of the Diamond Sutra is the Heart Sutra. And the insight that I got from the Heart Sutra, the quintessence, is that form is emptiness and emptiness is form. And what this is in essence is that form and emptiness is one and not twofold. If we close our eyes and visualize all sentient beings, whether they're beautiful or ugly, black or white, man or woman, noble or lowly, holy or mundane, rich or poor, those who fly or crawl, including the four sacred realms, the six rebirth realms, the ten Dharma realms, and all of this turn into nothingness, all disappear. What's left is emptiness. When there are no more three realms or the ten Dharma realms, what is left? Actually, when we reach emptiness, then there would be existence. So what is existence? Existence is the nature of body, which is the body nature. So the root of all existence is emptiness. So here we talk about form is emptiness and emptiness is form, and that form and emptiness are not twofold, that all is equal. So all myriad things in the world undergo four stages: generation, development, deterioration, and nothingness. And in India, Shiva is the destroyer god, and Brahma is the creator god. And the destroyer god, the creator god, is emptiness is form, and destroyer god is form is emptiness. So actually, destroyer god and the creator god are one and not two. So form and emptiness are not twofold. So I've heard in studying Buddhism that there are three stages of seeing the mountain. That seeing the mountain as mountain, then seeing the mountain as not mountain, and then again seeing the mountain as mountain. So the first stage, seeing the mountain as mountain, is the realm of the mundane. That you see the illusory world as true, so you see the mountain as the mountain. That's the world, that's the realm of the mundane. And then the second stage, seeing the mountain as not mountain, then that's form is emptiness. And then the third stage is seeing the mountain as the mountain again, is that poem, the attainments of the dreams in the world of a sand grain. This is that emptiness is form, and form and emptiness are not twofold. So last week, Grandmaster mentioned about Sun Xiu's kata, that the body is the tree and the mind is the mirror. that with ever watchful mind, you continue to purify it and not let dust cling to it. So this verse is the first stage, which is seeing the mountain as the mountain. And Huineng's Gata, which is the body has no tree and the mind is no mirror, and there's primordially nothingness, so where can the dust cling to? And this is the second stage, which is seeing the mountain as no mountain. So when Grandmaster finished writing his 100th book, he said that he would burn all his books, take off his clothes, and run naked around Lizang Temple. This is form is emptiness, and putting on the clothes is emptiness is form. When Maitreya Bodhisattva was carrying a cloth bag, walking all over the world, and then he put it down, and then he took it up again. My understanding is, by putting it down, he showed that form is emptiness, and by taking it up, he told us that emptiness is form. So this is form and emptiness are not twofold. When in this book called When the Waves Calm, when the wind calms, the waves arise, this title is very meaningful, so that when there's no wind, there will not be any waves, that everything is due to the causes and conditions. Like in the ocean, when the wind comes, the waves would arise. And when a huge wave arises, there's great power that can turn over a big ship. And there's the big wave and the small wave. When the small wave saw the big wave, would feel self-conscious and told the big wave, "I am so small, and you're so big, you're so great. You can't turn over such a big ship. What am I?" But the big wave told him, Don't see me as a big wave, but I would be gone too. There would be time when I'm gone. Although we are both waves, but don't forget that we are actually just water." So I use this dialogue to conclude my talk today. So the dialogue between the big wave and the small wave, and the inner meaning of the monk is a donkey, is the same. That it includes that there are similarities as well as differences. That all is not one, but also no difference. That form and emptiness are not twofold. That birth and deaths are one. Comings and goings are one. That they are all the same and all are equal. Equal. And like Sima Bodhisattva said, that you respect one and all. And a while back, Grandmaster also mentioned that the moon is shining over thousands of rivers or waters. And Guo Zixian asked Grandmaster, "Who are you?" And Grandmaster answered, "I am you." And why Grandmaster could not forsake even one sentient being. That's all I like to share this evening. Thank you, everybody. So let's all together join our palms, and I represent all to invite Grandmaster for Dharma teaching. Homage to the Honorable Meng Liaoming, to Master Sakya Zhengkong, to the 16th Dharma King Karmapa, and Master Dukden Darji. Homage to the three jewels represented on the altar. Simu, all sangsi. Dharma educators, Dharma teachers, Dharma lecturers, assistant Dharma teachers, disciples, and all disciples over the internet, let all be auspicious. Just now we listened to Master Lien Yin talked about about Zen, the inner meaning of Zen, and he talked about a lot of Zen words. He mentioned that form and emptiness are not twofold. So I have something simple to ask Master Lien Yin. If they're not twofold, then so if form and emptiness are not twofold, I'm asking Master Lien Yin, then what number are you? I cannot answer. What Master Lien Yin talked about was the koans of Zen and in the Buddhist sutras or Buddhist writings, and things that a lot of people have talked about. He's understood that. So what he mentioned was also related to the Platform Sutra, like the Gatha of San Xiu. And the Gatha of Hui Neng, most of us know about. Which I'm expounding here. And I will gradually tell you the similarity and the differences between Hui Neng and San Xiu's gathas. Ever since the ancient times, there are a lot of great adepts that talked about this. They regarded that San Xiu's gatha as not seeing the nature, or the Buddha nature, and Hui Neng's gatha as seeing the Buddha nature. Most of them regarded it that way. But what I say is different. That San Xiu's gatha is talking about existence. And Hui Neng's gatha is talking about emptiness. And both of them did not see the Buddha nature. But comparing the two of them, that Hui Neng's gatha is higher and San Xiu's gatha is lower, is of lower realm. It's just like that, that both of them did not see the Buddha nature, did not meet the Buddha nature. So in the Platform Sutra of Hui Neng, it mentioned that San Xiu was a great and high monk, and his master. And all the disciples of the fifth patriarch regarded San Xiu's wisdom as the best, and only he was qualified to write the gatha. And San Xiu himself also felt that other than himself, no other could write the Gatha in response to the fifth patriarch. So he considered it a very long time whether he should write the Gatha. If in writing the Gatha is to prove his realization, then that's pretty good. I mean, that is acceptable. But if it was for the patriarch rope, like from the first patriarch Bodhidharma all the way to the fifth patriarch Hongren, the lineage all the way down, so if it is for the purpose of attaining the patriarch rope and the patriarch position, then his motif would be improper. So he was considering it very carefully. And eventually he wrote the Gatha, which Master Lien Yin recited earlier, that the body is the body tree and the mind is like the mirror stand. And with ever watchful mind and at any moment, always purify it and not let dust cling to it. So after writing this Gatha, Shen Xiu wanted to show it to his guru, the fifth patriarch. And that was his realization and his insight. But walking at the door, he retreated. He did not dare. And he walked back and forth. And he walked to the door and back 13 times. So you can see that in his mind, he's not sure that this verse is the realization or the seeing of the Buddha nature. He himself was hesitant and did not dare to offer the answer, not like two Buddha disciples. That each one of us was just shooting the arrows just as they like, and they just continue to shoot as much as they want. And everyone writes something, presented something, and of them, only two or three who are very close. Compared to Huineng of the past, has more wisdom. So they have more wisdom than Huineng. And the others, I don't know where the arrows shoot at. They just shoot as they put it inside the red envelopes, and I thought I'll open it, and it turned out to be the arrows. Of course, they all have reasons. You know, then maybe they got it from the sutras or things that I wrote before, and everyone wrote something. Actually, they are not the right one. They are not the true realization of the Buddha nature. But that's the answer after the realization of the Buddha nature, or after seeing the Buddha nature. It's not that they are incorrect, but my question was not this. What I asked was, what was the enlightenment of Buddha Sakyamuni under the Bodhi tree? So when Sun Xiu completed his gada, he was going back and forth in his mind and he could not sleep. And the temple of the fifth patriarch had an alley and it had the wall fresco,
mirror.
A mirror. And it is the Linjia Sutra. And that's the name of an official in India, in Sri Lanka. Or the name of a city in Sri Lanka. So it's the sutra spoken by the Buddha. But here we have the Lingshan Assembly manifested mirror. So the manifested paintings or forms of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. So in his temple alley, there's this manifested painting of the Lingji Sutra. And this is the Padmakumara painting. And there's another alley that's called the lineage of the fifth patriarch, which was from the first patriarch Bodhidharma to the fifth patriarch Hongren. So the first, second, third, fourth, fifth patriarch. So the mirror or the painting of this lineage up to the fifth patriarch. So at night, Sun Xiu could not sleep. So at the third stroke of the clock, he was holding a lamp, walking back and forth on the alley. So he thought he must as well wrote it on the wall where there is an empty spot between these two paintings. So he wrote his gada, because he did not dare to give it directly to the fifth patriarch. So he wrote it there so that the teacher could see it. And if the teacher praised him and said, praise it, and said that this is seeing the Buddha nature, and Sun Xiu would show himself and said, I wrote it. But if the guru saw it, and did not say anything, or shake his head, or sigh, or like this, then he did not want to admit that it was him who wrote it. It was he who wrote it. That was a good way. So he wrote it and wanted to know the response of the reaction of the guru, of the teacher. So we could say that in this platform sutra, Sun Xiu's heart was hesitating, thinking back and forth, did not know for sure if he is seeing the Buddha nature. He did not even confirm. He didn't feel confirmed. But today, Grandmaster talked about the true realization of the nature and seeing the Buddha nature is confirmed. I can confirm. And I'm confident. But how can you be confident? Because when this statement was made, nobody can argue it, and it is peerless. Nothing is higher than it. No matter how much you talk, there isn't anything higher than this realization. That's why I can be sure. At that time, under the Bodhi tree, Buddha Sakyamuni was enlightened to this, and he also knew that this was unsurpassable. Nothing is higher than this. So it's very easy for you to be sure that this is the ultimate, and this is the ultimate realization of the Buddha. Once you have this, once you've got it, that you are fearless towards the thousands of arrows shooting toward your heart. Especially what the Master Lian Chang said earlier about a small magazine. You don't even care about the thousands of arrows shooting toward your mind or your heart. So this kind of realm of enlightenment is very high. So a lot of people ponder upon this, and it's just missing a little bit. Like what Master Lian Yin said earlier was all very good. It's not bad. He had a lot of analogies. They're all very good. But he just picked it from other people. Just missing a point. When I point you this point, then everything is solved. That everything is solved. Like what he said about the two oxens made of clay fallen into the ocean. So in the human world, if you don't win, you lose. If I don't lose, I win. So there's one lose and one win. So two clay oxens fighting, and they fall into the ocean and never to be hurt again. So these two clay oxens, one is the winner, the other one is the loser. Actually, it's the same between winning and losing, because there's no news about them. No matter how hard they fought, at the end, they fell toward the ocean, and they're made of clay or sand, and into the ocean, they become what? Of course, there's no news about them anymore. It's the same about human beings. That's an analogy. You fight, and eventually, nothing. You fall into the ocean. That's why the other day, I talked about masters fighting over territories. Okay, let's occupy a chapter when a chapter is being established to become their own. And those who lose, they would kick their feet, stomp their feet. How could I lose a few steps to others? Actually, winning and losing are the same. At the end, the four elements dissipate. So the clay or the sand oxens fell into the ocean. What's left? Today we have disciples from Panama. They were glad to be going home, and yet they're staying. Because in Houston, they have the hurricanes. In Taiwan, we call it typhoon, but there's the hurricane in Houston. So their planes supposed to be transiting in Houston, so they could not fly. So they stayed. So we don't know whether they gain or lose. So gaining or losing, it's just like that clay oxens. So you stayed a few days longer. Well, if you go home earlier, maybe you earn more money because you're doing business. Well, at the end, we are all clay oxens. Talking about planes, there's a broken plane, a story about a broken, damaged, broken, defected plane. And a lot of passengers already got on the plane, and then the stewardess asked them to get off. Why? Because the plane, some problem with the plane. And after 5 minutes, so that's fine. Now let's get on the plane again. And the passengers felt strange. How could the problem get fixed so fast? And the stewardess said, "No." What? Oh, we're just changing a pilot who dares to
Operate.
fly the plane. So I was thinking that the American planes are not as daring. So if there's hurricanes, they would stop flights. But in Taiwan, the EVA Air, they still flew back. EVA Air is the planes today. This morning at 7, they announced that they're flying back. Although the typhoon is still there, but they're daring. But American Airlines, they don't dare because lives are precious in America, but not in Taiwan. We just changed pilots, that's all. I heard that during typhoon, that in the front there's typhoon, and the plane drops suddenly and rise back suddenly because of the speed of the wind changes. So it flew up and down and flew up and down. So we flew between the upstream and the downstream. So if don't be surprised if you're being pulled up or pulled down. So every time they landed safely. Actually, typhoon this time in Taiwan was quite big. It's supposed to be the strongest, and now it's the medium strength, and it's staying at Taiwan for a while. And people noticed it and felt that it's probably about time to weaken, so they said, "Fine, let's just fly." So the pilots are daring of Taiwan. And Americans pilots, how many days do you have to wait? So, waiting so many days? So, Sun Xiu was also between daring and not daring. Sun Xiu was thinking, in my mind, this Gatha was already very good. That body is the tree of enlightenment, and the mind is like the mirror with the stand. At any moment, you cleanse it and not let any dust cling to it. And the tree of enlightenment represents the enlightenment, because Buddha Sakyamuni was enlightened under the Bodhi tree. So the Bodhi tree is like the tree of enlightenment. So my body is already enlightened, and my mind is just like a clean and brilliant mirror. As long as I clean it all the time, and the contaminants will not contaminate it, then I can see all the myriad things in the universe. That when the mirror reflects all the things in my mind, that my body is pure and my mind is enlightened. And he felt that my gatha is already incredible. That at that time, the people at those times were quite lacking wisdom. So that people, seeing that, immediately praise him. And of course, the fifth patriarch came out. So like this wall paintings of Buddha Sakyamuni, of Padmakumara, this manifested painting, wall painting, were painted by the monk Teng Xiao, ex-monk. And the wall paintings on the fifth patriarch's temple alley was called Lu Zhen. Also the family name Lu was a famous painter. And when the fifth patriarch walked to the alley and saw the gatha, he felt that Sun Xiu's gatha was very good. Just like how I felt about Master Lien Yin's talk was very good. So he felt it was very good. So if every ordained monk or nun and a laity practice according to this gatha, then this gatha is still useful. That you would be able to gain great merit, because purity is the same as ordination. It's the field of merits. And if you often frequently take away all the bad thoughts, and you could do good, then that's merit. Then there would be great benefits. So we cannot say that this gatha was bad. It has great power, because my body continues to strive for enlightenment. It's like the Bodhi tree. And my mind is just like the brilliant mirror reflecting over the whole universe. And I often eliminate all the bad thoughts, just like a wiping clean the mirror. So I am like uncontaminated by the worldly dust. So, and completely pure and brilliant. Wasn't this the Buddha nature? That's what Sun Xiu thought, that was the Buddha nature. So the gatha was written very well. So when the fifth patriarch saw it, he said, he called upon everyone, come and take a look at this gatha. And pay obeisance to this gatha, that this was well written, has great merit. and these other monks, they took incense and pay respects to this gata, and they reciting, and they say, be good, be good. It's like very good, very good. So we often say, or the Buddha said, often said, very good, very good. So the fifth patriarch also praised this gata, and he said, this has merit, has great benefit, so practice it according to this gata, that after a long while that you would also gain the true understanding of the mind and the true realization of the Buddha nature or the perfect enlightenment. So the fifth patriarch also praised this gata and said that the gata was very good. So Sun Xiu took this gata and did not dare to present it directly to the teacher, and going back and forth 13 times, and eventually wrote it on the alley. And the fifth patriarch also said that the gata was very good, that by practicing it, you will not fall into the three lower realms, and you would generate great power by practicing it. So the words of the fifth patriarch are just to, as a skillful means for everybody. Like the Buddha Sakyamuni also often say that at that moment, in that circumstances, you should say it that way for the good of all. But the true word is the word that hit the point directly. It's a statement that would enlighten you. So in the sutras, there are also words of skillful means or words of the ultimate meaning. The true words that's to the point. And Master Lien Yin was also talking about generating faith, understanding, practice, and realization. So the first two, faith and understanding, are skillful means. But practice and realization are the ultimate meaning. So if you are enlightened already, then you should practice it or do it according to your enlightenment. So in the Heart Sutra, it was written that form is emptiness, emptiness is form, and form is no difference from emptiness, and emptiness is no different from form, and form and emptiness are one and not twofold. Everyone can say it, but do you have its realization or their realization? So form and emptiness are not twofold, but do you have its realization? Look, do you know look? Yes. He said non-existence and non-emptiness. So what he said was very meaningful, because the enlightened person is not emptiness and not existing. So Sun Xiu was talking about existence. There's body, there's mind, there's body tree, and there's mirror stand, And Huineng was talking about emptiness. That body is not, the body is not the body tree, and the mind is not the mirror stand. And then primordially nothing, so he was talking about emptiness, but Luke was talking about both existence and emptiness. So saying like, but you're talking about the answer, but the question is, why is there between non-existence and non-emptiness? That's my question. Why? It's not incorrect. It is the answer, but why? Like what Master Lien Yin said, the three minds that are unattainable, the past mind is unattainable, the present mind is unattainable, and the future mind is unattainable. Why? Because the past is past. Of course, it's unattainable, even if you want to attain it. But the present mind is also unattainable because it would become the past. And the future mind would become the present mind and would become the past mind. They're all unattainable. So what is it that you attain? So the Zen master could not answer. The old lady selling cakes. Actually, she knew that her Zen is higher than this Zen master. So the past, present, and future mind are unattainable. So what kind of mind are you using to buy this cake? And you should answer the unattainable mind. You can just answer it directly. But he could not answer. It was the unattainable mind. Then he would have cakes to eat. But he could not answer. So the past mind is unattainable. The present mind is unattainable. The future mind is unattainable. What kind of mind do you attain? And he thought about it. And what kind of mind? We just want you to realize the unattainable mind. The two clay oxen fell into the ocean. It's also unattainable. Now we're talking about the monk is a donkey. That this old sage was ridden by everyone. And then because the monk is a donkey, then everyone ride on me. Of course, what Master Lien Yin said was very right. That the monk, donkey, monk. In the past, we call the monk as the donkey who has shed his hair. Its hair. So it's the donkey who has shed its hair. So once you shave your head, actually, once you're enlightened, what is a donkey? What is a monk? Everything that has form, it's no big deal. And how about everything that has no form? It's also no big deal. Even emptiness is no big deal. Existence, no big deal. This is already very close. When we are talking about emptiness, it's already very close to the enlightenment of the Buddha under the Bodhi tree. A lot of people giving explanations. Kong, kong, kong. Kong is emptiness. But it also sounds kong, kong, which is like full. Full. You know, empty in your head. There's so many words, like in Zen, you know, so many. It's just like all these words flying around. You can say so much, but that they're just talking around that center dot. Those antique dealers, when there are five antiques here in the form of human forms, statues. Well, and there would be a plaque that would say five. Oh, this is like a team of five generals. And then someone bought one of them, and then he would say, "This is the four heavenly kings now." And then someone bought another one, and only three left. And then he would say, "The three stewardess." And then one of them was bought again, and only two left. And then the antique dealer would write that in beating the tiger, you still need a brother. So two brothers. That's like a team of two. And then one of them was bought, and only one left. So the antique dealer wrote, "Alone, solitary." So there are many different words that you can use. To be honest, when people talk, you can say so much. Look at Grandmaster. I say so much. It's just because of this enlightenment of the Buddha under the Bodhi tree. And you just shoot all these stray arrows all the time. And wanting to solve this riddle or this topic. But if I clarify it, then I don't need to take the Dharma seat anymore. I don't need to be the Grand Master. You don't have to come to the ceremonies because all of you are already enlightened, and you can just put it into practice, and you don't need to listen to the Dharma teaching. But it has to be like this. It has to be talked like this here, and ponder upon it little by little. Then there would be taste to it. That would be interesting. If I say it too fast, too soon, then what use is this talk? There's nothing else to say. It's like Bodhidharma of the past. He just, okay, Dharma teaching, just like this, and that's it. And then he walked down. That's the end. So the Bodhidharma and the Master Fu, they took the Dharma seat, and then they just hit the table, and then that's the end. That's already very clear. If you can understand, you understand. If you cannot understand, then you don't understand. So today, I'm just talking here and there, and how should I say it? There's this ad about milk, that my milk is not mixed with water. Definitely no water. Original taste. No added water. and the workers told him, "Didn't you add water?" And he said, "No, I did not add water. But there was water in the bucket already. My water hasn't, I did not add water to my milk, but there was water in the bucket. And then I milked the cow, so the milk went into the water. So I did not add water into the milk. But actually, it's the same. Like the gas station. The gasoline with no added water. But you add water first and then you add the gas. Then it's still water added. So today we have to give the teaching this way, going back and forth, talking about east and west and north and south, going in circle, back and forth. And then all of a sudden, then you're enlightened. Oh, it turned out to be this way. It turned out to be this. Then I've accomplished my intention. Actually, those who are very close, one day, I would ask them to come to my feet, and I will tell them, it's this. Why? I can't say it. Look, in the Platform Sutra, when Huineng wrote that gatha, the fifth patriarch asked him to come to his room. It's not playing the lute. It's not playing the lute for him. Or the Beethoven's, I don't know, sonata or on the piano. It's not that. But it must be transmitting the ultimate truth. And immediately, Huineng, the sixth patriarch, knew. So, he was enlightened. Those who shot the arrows on the edge of this center dot, I will call them to me and I will tell them. Then, they would attain the true, the true teaching of the ultimate truth. So I'm talking back and forth, and a lot of people ask, why didn't you say it directly? Like over the internet, a lot of people are watching. Over 2,000 people. 2,000 or 3,000 people. When they heard it, they immediately would gain enlightenment. And then they all would become the lineage gurus. So I don't know what number I am. Then Lian Yin would be even lower number. I would be the great light Buddha, and Lian Yin would be the small light Buddha. Okay, time is up. Oh, money, I'm